Psalm 36, verses 1 through 12. This is the reading of God's Word. Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God! And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delight. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come upon me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the doers of iniquity have fallen. They have been thrust down and cannot rise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. As we hear your word, cause our faith to grow and we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, your word is delight to our hearts. In your word, let us see what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have the sweet fellowship with our Lord. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will hear your word and understand your word and believe and obey your word. Let us live that obedient life in Jesus Christ. Receive all the glory, and we thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, it says this psalm, Psalm 36, is a psalm of David. And since it is shorter psalm, let us look at some structure here. It could be divided into three sections. Verses 1 through 4, it talks about the nature of the sinners, nature of the wicked. And verse 5 through 8, the nature of God. And it ends with verse 10 through 12, which is David's prayer. Now, unlike Psalm 1, where the nature of the wicked are compared with the nature of the righteous, here in our psalm, the nature of wicked is compared with the nature of God. And David experiences the loving kindness of God as he prays to God, and he pleads to God to render loving kindness to his people and judgment to the wicked. So let us begin with verse 1. Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. To David, the problem of this sinful world is the ungodly themselves. They do not fear God. There is always rebellion in their hearts. Romans chapter 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodly and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Their suppressing the truth is so perfect that we could even say they do not know the truth. Romans chapter 3 verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave, and their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Some might think the Bible's description of the sinners is too harsh. But the Bible is the truth. The Apostle Paul, describing sinners, quotes verse 1 of our Psalm in that Romans chapter 3. Totally depraved heart of a sinner does not fear God. See, this is the starting point of all the sinful acts. Sin becomes a habit and a duty. See, evil is not an abstract concept. Evil is the reality of the wicked, reality of the non-believers. And when we use this word evil, we're not using it in terms of how the world uses it. Everything that is against God, not fearing God, is evil. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7a, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And these people, the wicked, they despise knowledge. They despise wisdom and instruction. They do not fear God. Verse 2, for it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. Well, NIV translates it this way, for in his own eyes, he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. You get the idea. He is puffed up. He is proud. He is self-deceived. He thinks that his sins will not be revealed, that he will be so careful, he's so smart about it, that nobody will know. He thinks that God will never know about his sins. Thus, God cannot judge him. In other words, he does not know his sins nor hate his sins. The pride of sin does not acknowledge God. John chapter 2 verse 18 through 20 says it like this. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. This is why non-Christians, they refuse to believe, because in order for them to believe, they need to acknowledge how evil they are. They need to confess their sins. But the pride of their sin doesn't allow them to do this. Verse 3, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Every word of the wicked is wickedness and deceit. Deceit. The wicked decorates the purpose of evil as though it is good. And he has ceased to be wise and to do good. He actually despised them. Verse 4. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. Whether he is up or lie down, he studies evil. Micah chapter 2 verse 1. Woe to those who scheme iniquity, who work out evil on their beds, and when morning comes, they do it. For it is in the power of their hands. Whether they are up or lie down, they think about how to sin. And they actually do it. It says he sets himself. That's in his nature. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, by means of hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. So he himself loves evil. He only knows himself. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 27, a worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He who winks his eyes does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 14, who delights in doing evil and rejoices in the perversity of evil. Romans, Paul says it this way, chapter 1 verse 28, and just as they, meaning wicked, they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. There are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. This is total depravity, total darkness. And they might be very good at disguising how they are. This is the judgment of God. When God sees their hearts, they're full of these things. You need to understand, you were like this. I was like this once. But we have been saved out of these things. The problem, you might think, is that yeah, I am saved, and yet I still have these things in my heart. But you need to understand, we are living in between salvation and heaven. And until we go to heaven, we will never be perfect. Thus, we live by faith. You have hope, a certain hope of that perfectness that has already been accomplished for you. So even as you lie, and try not to lie, but you will, you have to realize that I have become that person who will never lie in heaven. This has to be your faith as you live your life. And that faith will make you act much like who you really are in Jesus Christ. Only that faith will do it. Well, God even says that without faith, everything is sin. So even if outwardly you might do, you know, opposite of these things, if it is not coming from your faith, then it is still sin. Because your heart, without faith, have these things until we get to heaven. You know, God, what God is doing, in a very simple word, He is cleansing you. Every single time you hear the word, every single time you read the word, you pray, He's cleansing you. There's a sense that we are cleansed completely. Once and for all, we are cleansed. But at the same time, we are being cleansed every single day. Both are our reality. One is called justification and the other is called sanctification. Yes, you are justified, but you still need to be cleansed every single day. And that's what God's word is in your life. You could even say to yourself as you come to church, oh, God will cleanse me a little bit more today. So I will get rid of these evil things just a little bit more until that day when I will not see any of it. But always, even as you are sanctified, your faith in justification has to be yours. You live by that faith. Now, we go to verse 5. We see the nature of our God. Verse 5 to 9. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in you light, in your light we see light. Well, the solution to the problem of evil is our God. The nature of God is compared with the nature of wicked in these verses. Our problem here on earth is the wicked. Our solution is our God. The problem, sufferings and persecutions because of the works of the wicked. The answer, our God. God's loving kindness and His faithfulness extends to the heavens and reaches to the skies. They are infinite and eternal and unchangeable. God's righteousness and God's judgment, they are like the mountains and the great deep. Immeasurable depth. So in these two verses, we have the heavens and the skies, the mountains and the great deep. So what you see there? God's loving kindness, His faithfulness, His righteousness, and His judgment, no matter where you look, mountain, sky, or the ocean, it is filled with them. Filled with His loving kindness and His faithfulness, His righteousness and His justice. But I'm going to just say briefly because you hear it all the time from me. This is Old Testament language. After Jesus Christ, where do we look to see God's loving kindness and His faithfulness, His righteousness and His judgment? Well, we could look at the mountains and skies and heavens. We could see them. But the language of New Testament is not like that. Where do we look to see God's loving kindness and His faithfulness, His righteousness and His justice? Well, we look at Jesus Christ and His cross. That's all you need to see all these things about God. But Old Testament language, this is how the faith of saints were expressed in the Old Testament. And understand what is going on from Old Testament to New Testament. Yeah, Paul doesn't say, look at the heavens and mountains and, you know, ocean to see God's loving kindness. No. The focus is on Jesus Christ, because all those Old Testament things were pointing to Jesus Christ, no matter what it was. Verse 7, God's loving kindness is precious. It is valuable. It is of a great value. Verse 8, God is our refuge. God gives us abundant food and the abundant drink. Eating and drinking in God's bosom. The fellowship with our God. Blessed communion with our God. This reminds us of Psalm 23, verse 5 through 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The river of God's delight. River of God's delight. It reminds us of the Garden of Eden and causes us to look to heaven. Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2, then He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Heaven, from the throne of the God and Jesus Christ, comes this river of life. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit giving life to everything in that glorious place. Verse 9, with God is the fountain of life. In God's light we see light. In God's glory we see light. We see God's revelation. We see the light of God's glory. And this psalm ends with verse 10 through 12. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come upon me, and let not the hands of wicked drive me away. There the doers of iniquity have fallen. They have been thrust down and cannot rise. The upright in heart are those who know God. To these, God's loving kindness and His righteousness will continue, and God will protect them. But the wicked will fall and thrust down, and they cannot rise anymore. Romans chapter 16, verse 28, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. To them, God's eternal judgment will come. Now, I say this every time we look at a psalm. But unless we understand Jesus Christ and His work for us, none of these psalms will matter to us. Because you're going to be evil, wicked in every psalm. And only thing that you will deserve is judgment. Without Christ, that's how it's going to be, right? You're going to read all these Psalms and say, well, the righteous will be blessed, but wicked will be judged. And you look at yourself and how you live and look at what you do, and you're going to conclude, if you're honest about yourself, that you are the wicked. Then every Psalm will tell you that you will be destroyed completely. You will be judged. How can you even have joy after reading any of these Psalms, if that's how it is? That's why God teaches us from the whole Bible that it's all about Jesus Christ. That we have to go to Jesus Christ, then read this Psalm and apply this Psalm to us in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is the righteous, and you are in Him. You are united to Jesus. Thus, in Jesus, you are righteous. So, only in Jesus, you could read these Psalms and say, oh, the blessings that goes to righteous, that's to me. Otherwise, then, there's no need for reading these Psalms, because it will just curse you. So again, this is a Psalm of our Lord Jesus Christ. He enjoyed His Father's loving kindness and faithfulness and righteousness and justice as He fellowshiped with His Father. And in Jesus Christ, this life is now our life. Thus, this Psalm is now our Psalm only in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our true food and our true drink. See, in the Old Testament, God is our drink and our food. But when it comes to the New Testament, specifically, it's Jesus Christ. John 6, verse 55, for my flesh, Jesus says, is true food, and my blood is true drink. Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So this being hungry and being thirsty, and this drink and this food, we're talking in spiritual terms. Ultimately, it's not talking about worldly things. Because when you come to New Testament, all the worldly things is common grace. Just because you are non-Christian doesn't mean you're going to be hungry. God will provide. It's common grace. But in the Old Testament, God uses these worldly things to express heavenly things. That principle, you know, I mentioned it probably more than 1,000 times. You need to keep that in mind as you read these Psalms. And in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is our river of God's delight. John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. John chapter 7, verse 37, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of the living water. But this, Jesus spoke of the Spirit, John tells us. Again, Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2, the river of the water of life coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Jesus is the fountain of life. He is our life. John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We see the light in the glorious light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible tells us Jesus is the true light. John chapter 1 verse 4 and 5, in him was life and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. Isaiah 60 verse 1 and 2, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. See, you and I, we were just like verse 1 through 4. But in Jesus Christ, we have become the light. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And we shine the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God protects us to the end. And this is our present spiritual reality. This is the point. When you read those Psalms and how God is to his people, how he blesses them and how God becomes the river of life to them. And you read all these things and you go, well, I want to be like that. Well, you come to New Testament and realize that you are like that by what Jesus Christ has done for you. This is the pattern, same pattern every time you read these Psalms. The beautiful picture of believers, God's people. But when you examine yourself, you have to admit that's not you. But you want to. But when you come to New Testament, you realize you are. By what Christ has done. And in Christ, Christ himself is river of life to you. This is how we understand the Bible. Every good things that you will see in the Old Testament is true of you because of what Christ has done, what he has accomplished for you. That's why when you read Old Testament, even though you know you're not righteous, but you are so realizing how blessed you are because of what Jesus Christ has done. Long as you understand this way, then you're doing it right. But never, never think that by your own strength and your own ability, you're going to become righteous. So when you read in the Old Testament how righteous are blessed, and you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to try my best to be righteous so that I could receive all those things. Then only destruction will wait for you. Because you're not going to be able to do any of it. So it's not good news for you when you read it like that. No, it's Jesus Christ. His word made you that way. And we are protected. Now, when we are protected, we mean spiritually. There's nothing that could harm you spiritually. Not even Satan himself. Just like the Psalm says, God becomes their protection. God is our protection. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. Listen carefully to this. Who are, meaning us, we are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Now, that eternal protection, that spiritual protection is experienced here on earth in various trials. Do you get this? That is what Peter is saying. Yes, God is protecting us. We will go to heaven because He will protect us. But while that is going on, you're going to experience so much trials. In the Old Testament, that spiritual protection was shown in physical protection. But not anymore. Because physical protection is common grace. Even non-Christians are protected from this virus. It's not because you're Christian God protects you from the virus. That's not what the Bible is teaching. That was the Old Testament time. But understand, when you read these things and when you're applying to yourself, you have to understand in Christ and in terms of heaven. Then you will not go wrong. Let me end this. Our blessed heavenly reality, our blessed salvation reality. How did it accomplish? Well, on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ was treated as the wicked in verses 1 through 4. He bore our sins on the cross. Thus, He received the eternal judgment of God that the wicked truly deserve. The eternal judgment of God that we truly deserve. He received the eternal judgment in our places. And I would never get tired of telling you this. Even if everybody who hears me say, man, Young says the same thing over and over and over again, I will continue to say the same thing. Let me tell you again. You and I have been judged already in Jesus Christ. There is no more judgment for us. Even when Jesus comes back, there is no judgment for you and for me. Because 2,000 years ago, God judged me in Christ. John chapter 5 verse 24, truly, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. If you trust Jesus Christ, it says that person does not come into the judgment because you have already passed out of death into life. So all the judgment passages in our psalm, if you're wicked, God's judgment will come upon you. It clearly says it. But if you are in Christ, those judgments have already happened in Christ. You've been judged already. But Jesus received that judgment. So, when you read those Psalms talking about judgment to the wicked, you gotta realize, hey, Jesus Christ, I am in Him. So that you will not fear those passages. But it doesn't mean you ignore those verses. You realize if it wasn't for Jesus, then that is true of me. So that your thankfulness, your gratefulness will increase. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, and because of our Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sins and died on that cross in our places, falling and thrusting down and cannot rise, no longer describe us. Because of Jesus Christ. We saw that from His resurrection. No more falling, no more thrusting down, no more cannot rise. No, He rose from the dead. Without Christ, these words describe you. Why would you put yourself in that situation? When you could find yourself in Jesus Christ, when you trust Jesus, when you believe in Him. So eating and drinking with our God in His bosom, that describes you. That verse in our psalm describes you. Only in Jesus Christ. The eternal fellowship with God, that describes you. You know, in the Korean worship, we're talking about what is the valuable life. If you are able to have fellowship with God anytime you want. Go to any president, any great person in any country and say, I want to have fellowship with you. Let's see what that person says to you. You're nobody to them. God, whenever you want to have fellowship with Him, He will. Because that's His pleasing will to have fellowship with you. To Him, you are so valuable. Measure your value in terms of the Bible. Especially when it comes to judging other people. When you look at other person and you measure the value of that person, you do it in terms of the Bible. Please, in this church, we will judge one another in terms of the Bible. I don't care how successful you are out there. That doesn't mean anything to us. But your relationship to your God, who is you to God, that determines how valuable you are to us. Let us treat one another this way, because this is how it's going to be anyway. It's only through Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. Oh, Father, we thank You that all those judgment passages in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, they are no longer describing us. Because Jesus Christ has received those judgments in our places. Oh, it is so amazing grace. How blessed we are to realize that for us, only those blessings passages, it describes us, who we are and what we are in Jesus Christ. We thank You and we give You all the glory. For You and You alone have accomplished our salvation. We thank You and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.